The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, put on his robe, and returned to the table, Jesus said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Gospel this evening begins with the saying, Jesus knew that his hour had come. What if you knew that tonight was to be your last night here on earth? You knew that. What would you want to do with that evening? You probably want to be with those you love the most, family and friends. Maybe because you are people of faith, you'd want to attend some sort of religious service, have some prayers of some sort. You'd want to be, though, with those who are closest to you. And you'd want to tell stories and remember the good times and all the things we get together. And remember when Grandpa Joe did this and Aunt Susie did that and the time we went on this holiday. It's probably what we'd all want to do if we knew this was our last night on earth. And in some ways, it's the same with Jesus. He knew this was his last night on earth. He knew his hour had come. And he wanted to spend the night with those who are closest to him. He tells his disciples elsewhere in the Gospels, "I have earnestly longed to eat this meal with you." He wanted to spend the night with those closest to him to pray, to remember, to celebrate all the good God has done. But this last night of Jesus on earth turns out to be the worst night of his life. These friends who he wants to be with, Judas betrays him. Peter denies three times that he even knows who he is. And the other 10, when Jesus needs them the absolute most, they all run away. And he's left alone. Left alone to face those who would condemn him to death, those who would abuse him and mock him. And what is Jesus' response to this betrayal, to this denial, to this abandonment? He knows that this is what's going to happen. He tells them this is what's going to happen at the Last Supper. Jesus says, to Judas, do what you need to do and do it quickly. He says to Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny that you know me three times. He knows all of this is going to happen. And so what does he do? He gives them the Eucharist. Amazing. He gives to those who will betray him, to those who will deny him, to those who will abandon him. He gives to them the gift of himself. He gives to them fully and completely himself. Because we believe as Catholics that the Eucharist is Jesus. It's not a sign, it's not a symbol, it's just not a piece of bread that reminds us of Jesus. It is Jesus himself. That's his response. Is he gives himself completely and totally to those who would deny and abandon him. And I have to admit, when I thought of that earlier today and getting ready for this homily, I had to think, well, what is my response to abandonment and betrayal? What do I do when people that I rely on aren't there for me? Usually get mad, get angry, call them names, talk about them to everybody who will listen. Jesus gives himself. And if that wasn't enough, he wants to give this gift of himself not just one time, but he wants to give this gift of himself as a perpetual gift until he comes again. He wants this gift of himself to be available to all his people, to all of us who will betray him, who will deny him, who will abandon him when he needs us most. He wants us to have this gift of himself as well, and so he gives us another gift. He gives us the gift of the priesthood. Those who would stand in his place and make him present to all peoples in all places until he himself comes again. The Eucharist and the priesthood are Jesus' response to betrayal, abandonment, and denial. These two gifts of Eucharist and priesthood, above all others, show the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness, and the love of Jesus for his people. You know, in just under 3 weeks, I will have been a priest for 25 years. It's hard to imagine that I could be a priest that long already. May the 7th is my anniversary, and I'll be 25 years a priest. And I was sitting with seminarian Jonathan the other day and thinking, well, I wonder how many masses that is. So we did the math. I've celebrated over 10,000 masses in 25 years. 365 days a year times 25 comes to 9,600 and something. And then there's a lots of days where you have two or three and even four masses in a day. So over 10,000 times, I have stood at the altar and made present Jesus in this wonderful, wonderful gift of the Eucharist. And then how many countless numbers have come and sought Jesus' forgiveness in the sacrament of penance, have sought that mercy and that love where Jesus says, I absolve you from your sins, go in peace. How many sick and suffering and dying have been anointed with the oil of healing? How many marriages have I performed? People have I confirmed? Baptisms that I have presided at? All of these places, hopefully, I have tried to be and tried to make Jesus present. Have tried to bring him to his people, even though we deny, we abandon, and we forsake him. It is amazing It's amazing to me that the Lord would be so kind to all of us, and it's even more amazing to me that he would call me to be a priest. This afternoon, the three of us were sitting in the rectory just talking about priests and being priests, and I said, I still find it amazing that God called me to be a priest. If I was God, I wouldn't have done it. I don't think I would have done it, but he did. And here I am, 25 years later. And it's utterly amazing. And I can honestly tell you, as I stand here today and I've looked back over those 25 years, that there has not been even one single day that I have regretted this call. Not one. And I can't imagine being anything other than a priest, of having that awesome privilege, that awesome power to make Jesus present through my ministry and also, hopefully, through my life. That just in being a priest, people find Jesus. They recognize him there. So I ask for your prayers that I begin another 25 years of priestly life and ministry, that you will pray for me, and that you'll pray for all priests. It's tough being a priest. It really is. And it's tough being a priest, especially today. It really is. Because we all know that some priests have not acted as alter Christus, as other Christs, that they've acted in ways that don't make Jesus present. But the vast majority, the vast, vast majority, like 95% of them, have. They serve faithfully. They give their lives to God and his people to the best of their ability, making Jesus present through their life and ministry. So please pray for us, priests. Pray for me that we will be good shepherds, that we will be good witnesses to Christ present in our world today. I'm not the only one having special anniversaries this year. I'd like to acknowledge this time Father Tim, who in just under 3 weeks, or maybe it is 3 weeks today, might be 3 weeks today, no. It'll be 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks on Sunday, who will be 1 year a priest. And so, Father, I won't be here that day. I'll be in Jerusalem, as you know. And so we want to offer you congratulations on your 1 year of ordination. It's been an honor to see you grow into the priesthood. It's been a privilege to be able to serve with you and have you serve here at St. Thomas. So congratulations, Father, on your first anniversary of being a priest. God give you many, many more years. Now, Father Tim is not the only one celebrating 1 year of ordination either. This year, on June the 2nd, so a month and a bit from now, Deacon Mark will celebrate 1 year of being ordained a deacon. And so, Deacon Mark, we're also very happy that you fulfill your ministry here, and we pray that the Lord will give you many years in service to his people, and thank you for your diaconal ministry among us. So congratulations on 1 year as a deacon. Deacon Victor's been around a little longer than Deacon Mark, and as a deacon and as a person. But Deacon Victor, on June the 10th, will be 13 years a deacon this year. So Deacon Victor, again, we're very happy to have your ministry here at St. Thomas, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless you and work through you in your ministry as a deacon. So God bless you on 13 years. We did some more math with our seminarian, Jonathan. And he's not ordained yet, but he's only 106 weeks away from being a priest. So pray for him as he spends his next 106 weeks continuing his journey and preparing himself to be ordained a deacon. It's been a privilege for us here at St. Thomas to have so many of the seminarians among us and ministering with us, to see them in their journey and to be able to help them in their journey. So keep praying for Seminarian Jonathan. You remember last year at Seminarian Paul with us. Seminarian Paul is now Deacon-elect Paul. He's received his call and he'll be ordained a deacon June the 20th, I believe it is. I could be wrong in the date, but sometime near the end of June, he'll be ordained a deacon. So please pray for us. Please, please pray for us as we pray for you. We pray for you every single day. We really do. You're in our prayers, you're in our thoughts, you're in our hearts. And it's been a privilege to serve you for the 7 years that I've been here among you at St. Thomas. And I know I told you when I came here that I wasn't overly thrilled. And I wasn't. I was very happy where I was before. But I've been very happy here at St. Thomas. And it's been an honor to serve you. And it will be very hard to leave you in a couple of months. But continue to pray for us as we'll continue to pray for you. And the next time that you feel betrayed or abandoned, turn to Jesus. He knows this experience. He knows what it is to have his best friends walk away. To have his best friend say, "I don't even know who you are." To have one of his dearest friends sell him for 30 pieces of silver. He knows what it is. And he can bring us comfort and peace. And ask him for the grace when those things happen, not to turn in upon yourself, because that's the easy answer. Well, I just won't pay attention to any of them anymore. To heck with them, get them out of my life. It's not the right answer. To turn in upon ourselves and just say, "It's just me from now on," it won't bring us happiness. It won't bring us joy of any sort at all. We need to do like Jesus did. And when those things happen to us, to give ourselves all the more. To offer ourselves even further to those who are difficult. To make ourselves present to those who have denied us and abandoned us. Just as Jesus does in the Holy Eucharist and through his priests. Jesus has promised to never leave his church alone and abandoned. No matter how far we wander from him, he always is waiting to call us back and to offer us the gift of himself. That's what we need to do. To always be willing to give ourselves over and over and over again, until we give ourselves so completely that we give ourselves as he did his whole life. And it's only then that we will know the freedom, the peace, and the joy that we long for. We're now going to show that example of Jesus in the washing of feet as Father Tim and I exercise that ministry of service to some of our parishioners. And we pray that you will pray for all of us who are priests during that time, that we may be good servants of the Lord and good servants of you, the people of God. May God bless you all.